All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Pro to Pro Hour with Marlon Vittorello. We've got a fantastic show. I'm your co-host, Joe Dougherty. We're sponsored by Synergy Pharmacy. How are you, Marla?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome.
Looking good, Joe. I don't know. What you got around your neck there? It's like a scarf.
It's my mask.
It's a gator scarf. It's getting a little hot gator.
You know, I'm a little sophisticated. I'm sophisticated.
It does. It makes you look like you should have a smoking jacket on.
Ooh. So it's funny because, you know, we're on this keto diet and I'm working. I got a long way to go. But, man, I'm hoping that, you know, the middle of the night, you know, like in other words, it's just killing me, but I'm not used to obviously not eating carbs, but we're working it.
Are you really sticking to it? Because keto is tricky. It's like being pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not.
Well, I look pregnant,
keto works the same way.
Well, it's interesting about that because here's my thought process. I'm such a gorger that, you know, I can, in other words, I'm doing about a million times better than I normally do. But to me, with my diet, you know, it's a behavioral thing for me too. So in other words, getting off the sugar addiction first.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I mean, and I could tell you that it's, you know, that I'm doing it. I mean, nighttime is a hard thing. It's brutal.
Nighttime is really bad. And one thing that I've learned from like chronically dieting my whole life, I hate to even use the word diet, but whatever.
I know what
it
you
is
mean,
what it
though.
Is. But watching my entire life, if you do not eat enough protein during your day, I notice the mornings, like after the gym, if I don't have like a full protein shake, I am way hungrier at night, and I just want to binge on like carbs, salty, sweet, like whatever it is.
Yeah,
I want something.
I mean, all I do is eat protein, but I'm not. I don't really know what it is at night. I mean, I get anxiety just in general, but the point is, I'm an anxiety eater, so I don't know if I'm just anxious and I'm trying to, you know, kind of curb
satisfy it.
Right.
How about walking, Joe? You walking?
I mean, we bought a Peloton, so we're doing, you know, we're doing that, and I'm walking. I'll walk one day, another day I'll do the Peloton, but you know, we're hanging. And by the way, guys, so I got on, you know, we have a great show. We got some great guests here, and so I got on my kind of health kick with my wife, with one of our guests that Marla brought in, and it was just, so I don't know what you guys are going to be talking about, but it's a chance.
This one's going to be good.
You're going to have a new client.
This one's going to be good. Joe, you're going to like this. This is really cool.
So introduce our guests, if you will, Marla.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to have you guys here in our studio today. We have Sean Hagan, our attorney, and I'm going to have Sean introduce Shane and Sean, okay? Because I think it's pretty unique how they know each other and what he does.
Well, we're a bunch of Irish guys. I know that. So.
Sean Shane.
Irish from Philadelphia.
You're right.
Dougherty. And then you got Vittorello.
Vittorello. There you go. Well, listen.
We'll let her in still.
You're in the club today.
I'm Sicilian. You're supposed to let me in.
Oh, you're in.
You know? If not, we force our way in.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about Shane.
Thanks, Joe. So Shane is started Fight Tips. I forget how many years ago.
Technically, 2003.
Wow. It's been a time. So here's my relationship. You know, I'm an attorney. I specialize in personal injury protection, arbitrations, getting medical bills paid for patients and doctors.
And pharmacies.
Well, I should say, did I say doctors? I meant medical providers. I got pharmacies, hospitals,
everyone.
You name it. A little bit of everything under the sun.
Take care of everybody.
As long as there's a medical bill. And I fight hard for my clients. And almost 6 years ago, I was looking to do more marketing and YouTube. And fortunately, I knew Shane because Shane's married to my niece.
That's super cool.
And they have a successful business, Fight Tips, and particularly at the time, huge on YouTube. And so he helped me launch my YouTube. Now,
what's your niece's name?
My niece is Marie.
Marie.
Shout
out to Marie.
Hey, Marie. How are you?
She's fully engaged in the matter of fact, I approached her because she does a lot of the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And of course, put me, you know, and then Shane said, yeah, by all means, let's come in.
I feel like she's a tough cookie. Is Marie a tough cookie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tough cookie, but a sweetheart.
Right. Yeah. That's good. That's right. Hard exterior.
We call each other rock and roll because of that, because she's got the hard exterior.
Oh,
Also a sweetheart.
So it's, this interesting combination. I couldn't be more interested in both of you because I am really, we talk about Jersey Pip and all that stuff. I can't wait to hear about that and collecting. But also the fight tips. I was kind of joking around. I wasn't really joking, man. When I came in here, I just got done an argument with my wife. It's tough, man.
I love her, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Shout out.
I can't, there's a no-win situation there.
You're not winning against her.
Shane, so tell us a little bit about where Fight Tips actually, when it came about, what inspired you. I say that because women and, I always feel like it's, everybody obviously, should be able to defend themselves. And, I'm sure there's a lot of different... a lot of different ways you would use it, but talk about where it came from and what it's about.
It mostly started off as physical self-defense. I mean, we do talk about verbal diffusion and situational awareness and stuff like that, so we don't really cover so much about how to beat your wife.
Yeah.
In an argument.
I need some verbiage.
Sean, I need a few words to put in my bullpen. I can tell you this right now, Sean.
I'm never short for words.
If you come up with a part where you how to beat your wife in an argument, you will be a billionaire.
I'm a white belt in that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But you know what? You said something at the beginning, right off the bat, that got me, my radar up, because I was in the nightclub business. And we used to have all kinds of bouncers, and we had 30 of them, okay. And diffuse, in other words, when you have try to diffuse a situation, don't light the match and let it roll. A lot of people, that's a major problem.
Yeah, that's your natural reaction. Is you want to, you get angry, and then it's that fight or flight, and you want to go. Your body's telling you, I got to fight, I got to do it. Martial arts, to me, is the ability to control your emotion and then control the situation. I like to just repeat what people say, just to let them know that I'm listening. So I'll word for word. I actually learned this in when I was doing telemarketing. They're like, literally repeat exactly what the person says. So like, if someone's like, you're not listening to me, it's like, I understand you don't think I'm listening to you, but I am. It's just, here's my point of view, So if you can literally let them know that you're...
I have to interject. When those telemarketers call me... Okay. And then they start with their questions and then I answer their questions. And then they'll say, well, I understand, Mrs. Vitarello, that you're not interested at this time in opening up a new credit card. That like makes my blood boil. So I get like a little crazier. Okay. So like, if you repeat me after I told you something, that means it's not sinking in and you have to repeat it to yourself, right?
Well, then you go to step number two and you just say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. That's the other one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. But what's interesting is controlling your emotions. Yeah. I can tell you this. It's a story I tell a lot when I talk about security, and I was directly responsible. I wasn't. We had a head of security and all that. It was the most delicate position in the whole nightclub. And I'm telling you, my brother, who's my partner, we argued from 4. We closed at 3:30. One day we argued to 11 a.m. I mean, 7.5 hours. We came out, the sun was up, just over security and the quality of security and diffusing things. It's what you're talking about right there is, where did you come up with the concept? That in particular, in other words, there had to be a point where you said, there's a need from it, because it's a lot easier said than done. I was out there preaching to my security. Next thing you know, a girl comes up to me. She gets a broken nail, one of my security. Next thing you know, I'm arguing with her back and forth, and it's easy to fall into a trap. Talk about,
Well, there's no winning in a street fight. It's a lose-lose situation. And bouncers and security, their job isn't to beat people up. It's to diffuse it. It's to stop injuries from happening or people from fighting, lawsuits or anything like that. So, I mean, honestly, that's what it is. It's controlling your emotion, controlling the situation. You don't want it to escalate. You gotta follow your job, and it's taking a breath. It's keeping your ego in check. And
that's the hardest part, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when there's alcohol involved or people are doing all types of stuff. And, particularly with COVID right now, I mean, people have been fighting, so you must have been really busy this past year. I mean, with people just reaching out.
You would have made a fortune in my house.
You know, there's probably a ton of people who, you know, needed your services. The thing is it's just such a high temperature society right now, and you can't, I mean, we're sitting here right now, and I just asked Sean about this. A company, which I will, you know, keep anonymous, has now mandated all their employees. So you to get vaccinated. So if you don't get vaccinated, like, you're basically out of a job. And now this is going to be another fight, because there's a lot of people who choose not to be vaccinated, and then there's people who do and will, you know, go along with what the company says. So now your job's on the line. So this is going to create like a whole nother area of problems and anger. So that, I'm sure you probably had a lot of business this year. Verbal diffusion, too.
Yeah.
Did you get on Facebook and like referee some of this stuff too?
You could definitely see it. It seemed at first, it just seemed like I was getting a lot more interaction, a lot more engagement. I just assumed that's because people weren't at work and they were now on social media and commenting more than usual.
Yeah.
And then I sure enough started to see that it was just way more negative, a lot more hateful comments, a lot more arguing in the comment section. I had to take a break.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everyone should take a break from Facebook every now and again, especially when something like that is going on. The one thing I noticed, and, you know, people that you always had a great relationship with, you never had a problem with anything, they would troll. I have to use the word troll because it is really. They're like looking for a problem. They're looking for a keyword. They're looking for a phrase. They're looking for some item that they secretly maybe didn't like you. I don't know. Or maybe
You know, Mar, you know what it is, though? Nobody's half in on this.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the left, and this has been a volatile time in our country. I'll tell you what. But the point is getting in a verbal a situation, trying to de-escalate that situation so it doesn't escalate into a physical type of situation. There's a huge talent and a huge emotional awareness type situation. You know, it's you talk about martial arts. But so tell me how in other words, you're definitely obviously on to something there, because it's such a big, and Marla's mentioning obviously politics.
You know what it is? I think a lot with these, and I want to talk about the negative comments, because we've all been there where we get emotional too, and we want to interject and say something because it's a pressure release, right? We have anxiety throughout the day. And we either want to punch a hole in the wall, or we want to get on Facebook or Instagram and then just type out a negative comment, and that releases us. And you talked about
keyboard warriors.
Yeah. But you talked about like how when alcohol is involved, it doesn't help the situation. But like going to the bar and having a drink, that's a pressure release. And then fighting with the bouncer, that's another pressure release. Like it does. It feels good. It releases some anxiety that we have. So like it is
it's
normal.
It's definitely a release.
How about if you're drinking at the bar and you go on Facebook and start fighting? That's really a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The bouncer, and you go through a lot of, you know, situations where like you said at the beginning, the bouncer, you know, he's there to, you know, to defuse it. But the bouncer shouldn't be fighting. You talk about lawsuits. It's funny. I was in the nightclub business for 14 years. So we do a lot of legal shows. I've had a couple occasions where I've had my attorney on, and then I had, and I forget the guy's name, but he was he sued me, in representation of, somebody who was in a fight at my nightclub. And I, you know, literally I've done all kinds of depositions, but trying to keep that cool and having security that is, you know, especially at nightclubs, a nightclub security's job is a thankless one, because you get somebody screaming in your face, and how do you deflame that type of situation? When you got into this, was it in some way like a self therapy type thing where you were getting yourself in some arguments?
You know, I didn't know it at the time, but yeah, I was 9 years old when I first started training Taekwondo. And at the time, no, I didn't realize that's what it was. But as I got older and then through my teen years and then a little bit older, I realized that was my pressure release. It was like training for a fight. You know, I'm hitting the heavy bag. I'm sparring. I'm shadow boxing. I'm running 6 miles a day. I don't have the energy to get angry anymore at that point. I just want to sleep, and then I got to do it all again the next day. And then you start to realize the emotional reward that you get from it, the spiritual aspect of it too. And it kind of becomes that form of therapy. You meditate. And then, you don't when you can be in that situation and then recognize that you're losing control of your emotion, that you're getting aggravated, and then turn it around, like, that's a really powerful feeling.
No doubt.
Perhaps I need to start exercising more and burning off some of this frustration and anger.
I'm going right home.
It does help, though.
I'm jumping.
It does. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, what I do each day, I argue for a living. And it's sometimes frustrating. And I got that Irish in me that, you know, once in a while, I got to take a step back. And it's easier said than done.
I just can't believe we're having this show right now.
It's the best.
I wish you should have been at my house. I'd be calling and going, Talk to me now, Shane, because I don't know where I'm going with this.
Irish tempers, 100%, yeah. And Sicilian tempers. My family's from Palermo in Sicily, so we go from like 0 to 110 in like 3 seconds. So one thing I'm learning in my adult years, you know, because I'm still like 29.
Me too.
As I have my children and I start to see them like putting their hand down, like huffing and puffing, I'm like, oh no, we're going to reel this back. So then it causes me to self-evaluate on how I'm handling things, because kids are watching. They are watching society. Watching the riots. They're watching what goes on in your house, how you handle things. And, you know, like my son said to me today, you know, they had a substitute teacher, and the substitute teacher said to them, are you vaccinated? Okay, first of all, you should not be asking children that question, okay? So my husband got mad because, it was a female.
Are there HIPAA
laws? It's a violation, okay? And I told my son to ask her when her last pap smear was as a retaliation, okay?
Then is he even old enough to be vaccinated at this point?
No, he's 11, right? So I said, when someone asks you, if it's a female, you ask her when her last pap smear was and when her last mammogram was. And then when if a guy asks, then you just ask when their last testicular exam was.
Yeah.
And they'll stop. Like, it's a private thing right now. It's volatile. And I'm, you know, obviously he's under the age, so he can't even get one.
But here's the point also. So we had a show last week where I was talking to John Doherty, who's the president of the building trades. And he was telling me that it's going to happen soon, that the Philadelphia building trades, you're not going to be able to get on a job. The contractors are requiring it, that you have to be vaccinated. And it's an at-will state. So it's an at-will, which means you can be fired for anything.
Yeah. But here's the thing. They're mostly outside. I mean, the electrical union, I could see you're inside. But a lot of these jobs, the union jobs, they're outside. They're on scaffolds. Why do they need, you know?
And yet they're requiring it. And we've had attorneys on shows that have said, an employer in this state can require you to do that. Now, it's interesting. You mentioned the actual, you know, can they actually ask you? Is HIPAA violations?
Well, no, the answer is no, right, Sean?
Right. I mean, so the answer would be no, but also they can encourage, and that's what a lot of places are doing now, whether it's, in New Jersey particularly, whether it's hospitals or employers, the local Wawa is giving you a bonus if you get vaccinated.
Isn't that bribery, because though?
100%. I mean, there's a hospital that I'm aware of that's offering $500
instant
to get vaccinated, and they're still having a significant portion of the staff saying, at this point, I'm not interested.
Right.
Because it's, you know, there's concern on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can mandate yet, my understanding, because it's not full FDA approved yet, but it's definitely coming down the line. I know my wife works with travel with her company, and she's concerned, you know, with booking future trips, whether they're going to require, you know, either your vaccines or a COVID card or, you know, a vaccine card or passport. And so she's booking more domestic right now rather than going, you know, overseas or to islands.
So the question I have for that point, so I understand, you know, the need, obviously, for masks or to be vaccinated if you're traveling. When you're on an airplane, I mean, just talking about the financial piece of it, how expensive it is to get an airplane up in the air, and you have to tightly pack passengers and people are on top of each other and all that. That makes a little bit more sense. But whether it's domestic or international, it's like, what's the difference? You're still in an airplane within 15 minutes of somebody who could be COVID positive. Then it makes you question how much these masks actually really work. Because if they did, and you're not vaccinated, just wear a mask on your flight and that should end it.
You're talking about travel, right? Yeah, no doubt. But I'm sure you've had this conversation, because I've had it a lot. What about overseas and people coming in from other countries? And if they're not as stringent on their, but when you come over here, they can't get past customs. and they get tested.
Well, this is the problem with the borders right now, too, and COVID. You know, and not to get into like a whole, you know, no, political but, I mean, discussion, but that is,
what
that's
was
a
your,
concern.
What does your wife say about that? In other words, when, you know, like we, our customs and everything we're doing here, obviously, especially if it's overseas travel, it's going to be, you know, stringent. You can't get on the plane if you got a fever and all those things. But how do we know what's going to happen, you know, in China or in you know,
any you, you don't, you can't control the other countries. And
when
the
they
other,
get the customs here,
right,
then they got a problem.
And, you know, how much is financials going to play an impact?
Yeah.
They might take a strong stance at first, but once, you know, particularly economies that are relying on travel and tourism, do they relax those?
Hit.
You know, coming back in the United States currently, I have traveled a little bit. You got to get a negative free testing before you come back within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Countries are requiring that to go out to them, too. Some are still blocking all travel, right or wrong. You know, it's up to each country to decide and or, you know, within the states. It's going to get tricky. Hopefully we can get past it and hopefully it becomes an accepted disease that we face on a regular basis, meaning, you know, and I don't not drawing the comparison to the flu, but the fact that the flu's been around here and we've learned to adjust to it and accept the obstacles and the consequences. Any other disease that pops up at times, or we're going to have to adjust. And I think maybe because it was so scary and the number's significant, is we haven't adjusted yet. And again, that's my just speculation.
I mean, I think the issue with COVID, obviously, is the fact that it's highly communicable. There's an at-risk population, absolutely, people with pulmonary disorders, and it's a respiratory illness, which so is the flu. But, you know, if you compare impact when ICU and that first round that happened a year ago where people were dying all over right. Italy, and, you know, do we have that with the flu epidemic? I don't know in the beginning. I don't have the answer to know that. But, you know, a lot of these policies that are put in place, like checking someone's temperature when they walk in a door, is complete BS. Because I'll tell you, I had COVID. I did. I had the COVID, okay, in January. Had just a couple people at my house. Somebody came in with a sinus infection who told me it was allergies, okay, yeah. And infected me, my friend, and my daughter, and her daughter. There was not one fever by anybody. No one had fever. So it's like, you know. How, you know, if people are, they're making these rules that everyone must follow. And then, you know, like a flip of a switch, our gym says you don't need a mask anymore.
Well, that's part of the craziness of this entire thing. And believe me, it's part of the anger management situation we got on in the United States.
It doesn't make sense. Like, if it makes sense from a scientific standpoint.
A lot of things don't make sense. Let's be real. I mean, it's nuts. Shane, so when you talk about the fighting tips themselves, the actual fighting tips, is it fighting tips, you know, when you're in a fight, or is it diffusing it? I know that, or is that just part of it?
Like the dodge and weave? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, no, I mean, we first started off mostly doing self-defense tips, and then we bridged into mixed martial arts, more sport competition, combat sports.
Like, can you kick that light, like, from right where you're standing? Probably.
Yeah.
It's a ceiling light, folks.
Yeah.
Can we get some kind of demo over here? Come on. Can we get...
I won't try.
There's plenty of stuff over here.
Yeah,
we'll hold a stick with something up over it.
That's Shane's...
specialty?
I'll evaluate whether there's a claim afterward for liability.
Yeah, so I started off in Taekwondo, which is why I probably could kick that. It's all kicking. It's all flexibility. Then I got into Muay Thai, which is the art of eight limbs. It's similar.
I thought that was a drink. Isn't that a Muay Thai drink?
Muay Thai.
Oh, Muay Thai. I'm sorry.
Delicious.
See, that's where my head's going Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
And then boxing. And then I started bringing in other coaches from the channel to focus on the grappling aspect, the wrestling and jiu-jitsu and that kind of thing. But it all ties together. Again, like to me, martial arts is all about self-control. So even if you're doing it for sport competition, you still can take those aspects into self-defense situations, the physical and the emotional.
I said fight tips, boxing club. I mean, do you actively, are you fighting now? Are you, in other words, competitively?
I did. I'm coaching now.
Okay.
More than anything else. Yeah. So, you know, I have clients that I work with, fighters that I work with, competitors,
Is it the ultimate fighting? Is it boxing? What type of fighting?
I specialize in striking, so kickboxing, boxing, Muay Thai. And then if I'm working with MMA fighters, then I'll have other coaches come in and help out with the strength and conditioning and the grappling aspects.
What is grappling? When is that?
Well, grappling is an umbrella term where you could say that's like Greco-Roman wrestling,
right.
Upright wrestling, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, Judo.
Okay.
So anything where there's no striking involved.
Oh, I got you.
It's takedowns, it's joint locks, it's chokeholds.
Oh, chokeholds. That's very exciting. So, wait, hold on, Joe D. I got a question.
That's a whole
here. Hold on, Joe. Hold on to your microphone.
Which are good
there.
For restraints.
How tall are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 6 foot. No, I'm 5'8".
Okay. The only reason is because I met you while you're sitting down. Okay. Now, and I'm going to talk about this. So when you think of a guy, like a fighting tip boxer guy, okay, you're a nice size. But you, like, do you think, because you're, I would say, smaller than, you know,
yeah,
I want to, yeah. You know.
So somebody would underestimate
him. He's not the big burly guy that you would think is sitting here, like, can't put his arms down because, he's so jacked up from, like, working out. I mean, obviously, he's in impeccable shape. You can see that. But do you find, this is the question I'm getting to. Yeah. Do you find people often underestimate and just kind of, like, pick on some guys who are, like, smaller? Because I know you could kick everybody's butt. Here to the other side of the bridge.
I don't want any problems.
Like, there's just no, you know.
Well, you know what's funny is this is probably like the number one viewed video of mine is how to beat a bigger opponent.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to know, like, does size matter in a fight?
Right.
And who knows? Like, maybe that's why I got into martial arts at a young age because I was a little smaller than everyone else and I needed that added something to be able to level the playing field.
Right.
I don't know.
And show everybody, like, don't mess with me, dude, because I'm Shane and I will.
I wouldn't say, like, I got picked on because of my size, but I would definitely, I remember in high school, I would wear my boxing gloves on the outside of my school bag.
Yeah.
Just to like,
send off. Her a message.
It's like
message.
The ADT sign. Like, don't come near me.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but you know, it's self-defense and obviously, especially now with the MMA and all those things and the different size weights and stuff like that at the end of the day, you know, it's such a big industry now. I mean, I grew up a boxing fan. What area did you grow up in?
Northeast Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What part?
Somerton.
Okay.
So like far northeast.
So we lived in Mayfair for 20 some years, but I mean, you know, Philly's a tough town.
Sean's from Northeast.
Yeah, he grew up right around the block from where I grew up, at different time periods. But again, I'm a George Washington High School grad.
What year?
Go GW Eagles. What year? Wow. Listen. No, I'm not afraid of it. 1988.
Just go right for the juggler.
That's 88?
88.
Sean, I got you by 6 years. You're in good, you know, you're a kid, man, for crying out loud.
And I feel like a kid.
Sean, do you box? Do you do any of this stuff?
I do not. As a kid, I had a heavy bag and a speed bag. And
really?
Kind of followed boxing, but that was the and I don't think Shane even knew that, and that was the extent of it. I think I got it one Christmas when I was 8 or 9, and we used to box with each other in the neighborhood, but I never got into it seriously. And
we boxed. I mean, like we had a sneaker store up the street called Lens, and outside of Lens, everybody's old sneakers, and I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of pairs, were on the wire, right? And so, But he had boxing gloves, and they were like Joe Frazier's. I guess Joe Frazier signed these big practice boxing gloves. We go outside, and by the time we were done, we couldn't pick our arms up. But we boxed. And I remember, and my buddy just put it up on Facebook not a couple weeks ago. I was really good with my hands, really good, quick. I had good coordination, but I wasn't all that big either, you know. And I would pepper in his face, but he was big and burly. We were boxing, so I had the advantage. She chased me like a half a mile home. I peppered him a couple times. But the point is...
Well, smaller guys, too. You have that agility. You have that flexibility. Mm-hmm. Like, you can dodge and weave, like we, said. Like, my son, he's 140 pounds. He's 11. He's huge. He's humongous. He's 5'2 already.
Right.
Okay? Wow. Now, I will tell you, and I know this because I've wrestled him down to the ground. Okay? Like, in 2 seconds flat. Because he'll come up and he'll, like, start, like... puffing his chest at me. Come on, Mom, come on. And I just turn around, and he's on his knees in 3 seconds flat. I mean, it's so easy to take them down.
Yeah, meet this kid, Shane, like, seriously. Teach him.
Yes, yeah. I'm getting the kid ready for tackle football. It starts in August, you know?
I'm your boy there.
Such a wimp, dude. Like, he's such a wimp. But my point is that anybody could kick his butt. Anybody.
Okay, he doesn't know.
But kids are so intimidated, and he's the nicest guy. He's like, you know, he's so, oh my God, I don't want to play football because I don't want to hurt anybody, and he'll cry if like a bird is limping or with a wing and the whole nine yards. I mean, this kid has the heart of gold, which I love.
Yeah,
I love.
Yeah,
but I'm also, I feel like kids pick on him because he's bigger, and they want to like ruffle his feathers, and he kind of backs down, and I don't want him to get like. He tries to defuse it.
I think jiu-jitsu would be great for him.
Jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu.
Did I say that wrong?
How long does it take?
BJJ.
How long does it, you know, when somebody gets in? I mean, it's a new, I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of spirituality in martial arts.
Discipline.
A lot of discipline. But when you're do you teach the body and the mind as part of your training?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes hand in hand. I mean, like when you challenge yourself physically, there's going to be some mental growth there that happens. But yeah, I mean, it's a lifelong journey. It's not something that you master after a couple of years. You're always a student of the game.
I think that when obviously, you know, you can handle yourself and you have. A comprehensive approach. So you're a tough guy, but at the same time, you know, you have an emotional, you understand the emotion, just like martial arts and the whole, spirituality type situation. That, I imagine, comes in handy in regular life when you're dealing with situations that you maybe didn't expect.
Even coming in and talking on live radio, you know, you get nervous before that, but then you start to recognize the feelings that you have, and you don't really put a label on it, whether it's a good or bad feeling. It's just a unique feeling, and then you start to appreciate that. You live in the moment. You're more present.
Yeah,
but life's about that. I mean, so if you really think about it, and Sean, I could tie this back to you and your situation. You take on clients, and you're representing them, and you always want to be your best. And you know, there's times when now a judge has to make a decision, or somebody, or you have to go in front of people. I'm sure at some point in your career, you're feeling that little unease and that little. I think that's a good feeling because it teaches you to be brave, to go forward, to make things happen. And there's a sense of pride when you reach your goal.
I think if you don't, excuse me. I think if you don't have that unease, you're not prepared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you know when you're putting whether it's a decision in front of somebody or an altercation, you never know how it's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Whether it's physical or intellectual and arguments, but you know, if you're not a little nervous, you're either overconfident, which can, whether it's a fight or an argument, puts you at risk, and likewise, you know, it gets your juices going.
Shane, do you ever, you know, even now after all these years of training? When, you know, I mean, if you're going to spar or, you know, if you would ever fight competitively or even on the street, do you still, you know, in other words.
He's a deadly weapon. Yeah, but, I mean, nobody's going to mess with him. They don't know yet.
But listen, you made a point.
It's a bad day.
You know, somebody's going to take a shot at you. I'm sure you're, you know, one thing I think that's important about what you're talking about here is the preparedness and the fact that you can relate. I don't have that. Like, in other words, I don't have an idea of, you know, what would happen if I took it, you know, and it's not that I had a couple of fights growing up, but the point is, you know, showing somebody and actually going through it. But even in that aspect, do you get a little nervous before you go into the ring or before you do something?
Yeah, absolutely. Not so much with sparring anymore. It took years to get to the point where sparring was fun. And I always tell that to people who first start, But I don't compete anymore, but like I coach, and now I feel that for my fighters now.
Okay, it's a great point.
Big time. But yeah, like if I ever find myself in a potential self-defense situation, absolutely, yeah, you get that adrenaline spike and the butterflies in your stomach and the jitters.
It wouldn't be normal if you didn't.
Exactly. Yeah, like Sean said, you're either too confident or drunk or whatever, but
right.
Yeah. And neither of those.
Or delusional. Sometimes people, and I think that we can relate this to to both of you guys, arguing with someone who is delusional is a whole nother ballgame, okay? Oh, because they not only think they're right, they believe they're right. It could, you know, the wall could be white, and they're going to say it's red.
I mean, no question about it. Shane, how would somebody get in touch with you if they wanted to be trained? And do you do beginners and stuff like that?
So I kind of have it down to a system now where, because we're over 3 million subscribers now on the channel, so the demand for personal training has been hard. You know, like my time is spread thin. So what I do is for beginners, I just recommend them to go to the YouTube channel. That's where we answer all of the frequently asked questions that everyone runs into in the first couple of years of their training. And then fighttips.com, we designed to be the next step. That's the in-depth tutorials. That's the curriculum. That's the customized weekly training regimen, the class setting, videos, solo partner drills. And then at this point, like I was making a living off of personal training 6-7 years ago, but at this point I have to be very selective with who I work with. So at this point I'm basically just working with fighters that not even necessarily have like outstanding skill, but just have good character, because I know that I'm probably going to feature them on my channel. And I want them to be a good influence.
And the YouTube channel is what's it called? Fight Tips?
Fight Tips, yep.
All right, well, cool beans, man.
So
that's awesome.
So he's being selective, Joe. I don't know that he's going to
pick you. Here's the way this is
going to
roll.
So, like,
I want your baddest dude. I'm going to take him outside
right
and beat the living crap.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
If you arm wrestle him and you win, he'll take you on.
I would take you right now, but my arm is killing me. I can't do it.
But listen, Joe, look at that, Joe. You see that?
And it's hard to see because, obviously, we're on the radio. We're not... If you come across Shane, you know, he can probably kick anybody's butt. But his demeanor, he's a fun, loving, easygoing.
He's a sweetheart. I know. You can't even.
My family loves him. When I say my family, obviously.
That's awesome.
My sister, who's his mother-in-law. But, you know, my wife, my kids, my one oldest son, who's a junior in college, is doing business work with him now. My younger one just emulates him.
You know what's interesting? I'll tell you that is not a small statement. Like, if you want to know about somebody, talk to their wife's family.
Listen, do me a favor. Put your phone on record when you and your wife get into a fight, because you both work with Fight Tips and your partners, dude. Can you imagine that?
Oh, man,
do you have children?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know, the argument tips, that would be one. That would be a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
How to beat your wife at an argument.
I'll have Marie run that.
But let me tell you something.
It's never going to happen.
A million followers.
Don't
on
you
that.
Know? Happy wife, happy life.
I hear you that. It's a day by day thing. okay, so we're going to pay some bills, and then we're going to come back.
One day at a time, but go ahead.
We're going to pay some bills. And we're going to have more from the Pro to Pro Hour at Marlon Vittorello, sponsored by Synergy Pharmacy, after the break.
Injury or a personal injury can be a very traumatizing experience, particularly when your local pharmacy refuses to fill your prescriptions. This won't happen with Synergy Pharmacy. Synergy Pharmacy is a workers' compensation and personal injury pharmacy focused on providing high-quality physician-prescribed medications to injured individuals, even if the case is in litigation. Synergy Pharmacy works on behalf of their clients to get their medications quickly processed and delivered directly to their homes within 24 to 48 hours, and there are no out-of-pocket costs to the patient. Synergy Pharmacy is a family-owned pharmacy that cares about injured workers and those suffering from personal injuries such as motor vehicles or other types of injuries. At Synergy Pharmacy, the patient comes first. That's Synergy Pharmacy at www.synergyscripts.com. That's synergyscripts.com. Call 484-328-4700.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Pro to Pro Hour. Marlon Vittorello, I'm your co-host, Joe Dougherty.
And we made it through without getting hit or beat up by Shane.
We did.
We're good.
It's early.
Day's
it's
not
early
over.
Yet.
He didn't throw anything at us? No,
Marlon,
he's the best.
He doesn't look mad at me, does he? I just want to know.
No.
Because my wife...
He's got these piercing blue eyes, though, man. If you look at him, he looks
What the hell?
He's like a machine. Well, all you Irish people have these nice blue eyes. And you know what they say about Italians, right? Why we have brown eyes.
Well, hold on for one second.
Can we say that on the air?
No. Hold on. Let's think about that, fellas, before we speak, right? You know what they say about Italians, Sicilians? No, and I don't, and I have no comment on that, just in case
correct.
Any Italians, you know, are listening.
But we're full of it.
Really?
And it rhymes with it. That's what it says. But yep.
Barbara I've heard said the that. Expression. I don't agree with it. But.
No, me neither.
All beautiful people.
My grandmother. My grandmother's Italian was Italian off the boat, Massolino. So having said that, she married an Irish guy. It's the rest is history.
Is Doherty Irish?
Yes, Sir Doherty.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. It's like Doherty. My grandpa McNally, right?
So my grandfather. His name is Joseph Doherty. He met my grandmother, Catherine McLaughlin, of course. And then my mother, that's my dad's side. And then my mother, my grandmother's name is Massolino, and she married an Irish guy named Haley. So here we are. That's important. That's a whole nother. But having said that, let's talk about what you do, Sean. Sean Hagan, attorney at law. And I find what you do very interesting because I've had a lot of shows. Whatever you do, Mar, you're killing me. What? Oh yeah, we got him. Okay, get it on, Sean. Don't get me. We've been doing this for a long time.
I got enough pictures
and still,
of you,
and still not my good
side. I
see
you every week. I have like a dozen pictures of you.
Mother of God. But having said that, Jersey Pip.
That's the bulk of my practice is Jersey PIP. So it stands for Personal Injury Protection.
Yep.
Otherwise known as no fault. And what it is when you're in a car accident, if you get hurt, injured, your own auto insurance is supposed to pay your bills. That's why they refer to it as no fault. Doesn't matter who's at fault. The other person could have caused the accident. Your own insurance company is supposed to pay your bills, which usually means you end up fighting with your own insurance company to try to get the bills paid. And that's where I come in to play. You know, I'm going to fight for you.
You and Shane.
Me and Shane, fight tips. and that's how I got Shane help me get started with my YouTube channel of Hagan's New Jersey PIP Tips. That's how I try to educate the areas.
It's a misnomer, though, because when you think about Philadelphia, the minimum in Philadelphia is $5,000. Yeah. And then so you hear about Jersey and it's $250,000. Automatically you think,
what are we doing wrong in Philadelphia?
Right. I got to move to Jersey.
I'm a New Jersey resident.
It's not quite that easy, though, right?
I mean, yeah. So I have my Pennsylvania license, although it's inactive right now. So I'm not going to comment on PA law. You're right. They have $5,000, but you can opt. And most people don't know this. In Pennsylvania, you can opt up to $100,000.
Sure.
People think, well, I got good health insurance. It'll cover it. But some health, depending on the type of health insurance plans, will then put a lien on your personal injury suit. So you might recover money against the person who caused the accident, but most of that money might end up going to pay your medical bills.
Incredible.
Especially with these limited policies. Now, in New Jersey, as you said, the standard's $250,000. But unfortunately, I think in about 1990, they allowed you to opt down to $15,000. So there's a whole 250, 150, 75. You can take different options.
But there's no way our buddies, the insurance brokers, would ever let us do that, right? Because they care so much about
us.
Yeah,
that's the biggest problem is so, you know, it's opt and you can save a little bit of money by opting down. But, you know, the example I give you, you know, unless you have a horrific driving record, where you're almost uninsurable, but technically you have to be insurable in order to drive. That's going to save you a lot of money, but typically it saves you $15, $30, $50 a year to go from $250,000 worth of medical expenses, and that's what's going to pay for your medical bills, down to the $15. I'd say 10 years ago, it was 2% of the population has it. Unfortunately, the biggest carrier in New Jersey, you know, that little green creature,
yeah,
they're shoving it down people's throats, and people don't know what, you know, they hear PIP. Sometimes I reach out to clients. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm handling the PIP. They're like, well, what's the PIP?
Well, most people just walk in and they're like, get me the best deal possible. Right. It's only, and they don't realize that they're walking on a tightrope without a net. They have no safety.
So you might have saved 15%, but you're getting less than that in coverage. And it's unfortunate. So almost half of the policies now, and so patients or people are getting in accidents are struggling with this, but also the medical providers in terms of trying to treat them, and with only $15,000 worth of coverage. I think it's one of the biggest issues that it's facing New Jersey consumers right now and the medical providers in New Jersey.
How many cases out of the cases that happen, right? Let's look at just an average type situation. How often does it happen where somebody gets shorted on on a PIP situation in a case? Does it happen a lot?
Yeah. I mean, 50% of insureds now have only the limited PIP.
Wow.
So it's significant. And again, you're now not getting the treatment.
But I'm talking about for you as an attorney.
So
out of all the cases out there, how many would actually be in a situation where you have to go get the, you know, it theoretically, does it happen? Does that happen a lot?
I'm seeing it a lot, and I'm a fighter by heart, kind of like Shane.
Oh yeah.
And I fight them because a lot of times I'm only finding out after I filed the arbitration, the insurance company will now say, oh, by the way, this is a $15,000 policy and it's already exhausted. Because New Jersey, to its credit, do have what's called fee shifting, meaning if I file an arbitration for you or the medical provider and we win, the insurance company has to pay my attorney fees and costs. It's fee shifting. And it's kind of a penalty on the insurance company for improperly denying it. And you're fighting with your own insurance company.
So you don't get a contingency fee out of the recovery?
No, I do not. I don't. Some do take it. I don't. I just take whatever attorney fees and costs that I recover. So back when I first started this 20 years ago, I'd win 99% of the cases. My numbers have dropped since then because some of the cases are 15 policies that are just exhausted. It doesn't matter about the medical necessity and other arguments that they raise if there's nothing left on the policy. With that said, I fight it. I make them prove, particularly with the one carrier Geico, I make them prove that they properly got the $15,000 policy. So they have to do it on what's called a coverage selection form. They got to fill it out, sign it. What Geico does, and I'm a Geico insured, so I know firsthand, is when you go online, they don't give you the coverage selection form. They ask you a bunch of questions with drop-down boxes. And most people, again, not knowing what PIP is, the first choice they give you, is it the 250? No, they 15. So people are clicking on it, not realizing it. It's frustrating for those.
How would somebody... So take a scenario. Somebody gets in a car accident.
Yep. Yeah. My question is related to the step-by-step.
Yeah, step-by-step. Like how
I want to know how much of the PIP actually goes to medical and then what entails a actual settlement. You know how people say, okay, we settled our case for $100,000.
Yeah, so there's different types of coverage on your insurance policy. The PIP just addresses the personal injury protection, so your medical expenses, death benefits, if you miss work. The liability insurance, the comprehensive, the collision will cover whether it's the property damage, whether you're at fault, whether the other person's at fault, and how much you can recover. So it's separate from the settlement. Now, if you've already exhausted the PIP, though, and there's not enough money on the liability side of it, the third-party suit against the person who caused the accident, either the doctors get shorted or the patient. I've seen cases, I got one now where, you know, unless we can get a decision favorable on the PIP side, even though they got a pretty good settlement on the suit against the other driver, they're going to get nothing, them personally.
So if somebody, so how do you,
what I'd recommend is, one, if you're in New Jersey, always opt for the 250. Don't settle for less. You're not saving much money. And if you're not sure, double check your policy forms, your declaration page when they mail it out. That was a class action suit that happened with Geico. They were switching people on renewals without their knowledge from 250 to 15.
Wow.
And they got caught. And they I think there's issues with how they're handling it now. And we're looking into possible class action suit on that. I wish the Department of Banking Insurance would take a more active role. I brought it to their attention, the Department of Banking Insurance in New Jersey, when they were switching people without their knowledge. I had a doctor I was telling him about. He goes, oh, I'm Geico. He goes, no, I'm good. And he pulls up his policy online. He's like, son of a gun? Mm-hmm. They switched. And a lot of times you don't find out till after the fact.
Until you're hurt in an accident.
Yeah.
When you need it.
Right.
Are they all like this? Like, I mean, you got Flo. We always talk about Flo. We laugh about her because she's, you know, they portray this softness to an insurance company and like, we got your back, like State Farm, like a good neighbor, all this kind of crap. And then you get hurt and they're just like, they're done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to paint them as a bad picture.
Yeah.
You know, they'll certainly pay your benefits, but the more they pay out, the less they make.
Right, but they're paying insurance. With the money you gave them.
100%. That's where people get infuriated. So when I sometimes talk to these patients, if I'm doing a case for a medical provider where they're doing it through an assignment of benefits so the patient doesn't have to worry about it and the doctor's office will take care of it, I sometimes have to talk to the patient. They're like, well, what do you mean? Why didn't they pay my bill?
Sean, Let's go through
sure.
in a couple of minutes. The say I get in a car. Tell me how this thing plays out. I get in a car accident. I have $250,000 of PIP in New Jersey. At what point, you know, would I have a problem, and how would you know about it?
Yeah, so
because I've been doing this a long time, and this is the first time I've run into somebody like you that does this, which is awesome to know.
Right. Well, thank you. So the first thing you should do is always, no matter what happens, anytime there's a car accident, report it to the insurance carrier, your insurance carrier.
Sure.
They at that point have an obligation to let you know about the PIP. They're supposed to, in New Jersey, send out their decision point review plan, which lays out all the criteria for the PIP. So whether you're injured or not, they should be sending that. Obviously, they're going to ask if you're injured. And if you're injured, you got to make sure you tell them and make sure, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, you got busy lives. I remember I had a car accident many, many years ago, and I treated some, but I was too busy to go to treat.
And you're going
to
suck it up if you can, right?
Right. You know what? Maybe it'll go away in a few days. Right. The sooner you get it documented and see a doctor, the better it's for you, hopefully getting a full recovery, but also so you have less issues with the insurance company that they're trying to deny it later. So first report it. They're required by law to send you the forms that you need. But then it's working with doctors or medical providers that are familiar with New Jersey PIP, because not all are, and plenty don't want to, because there's so many obstacles that they play in.
So how would I get in trouble? Like, in other words, what would happen to me that I would need an attorney?
So where I come into play, and maybe that's kind of the question, you know, you go to the doctor. That's what – focus not on the lawsuit or who's paying the bills. Go to the doctor. And the doctor's going to bill the insurance company. And if and when they start to deny or not pay your bill.
Oh, you represent the doctors that aren't getting paid.
But I also represent the patients also sometimes, depending. Like if I represent them in the personal injury suit, I'll handle the PIP portion of it. Also, a couple of the big firms in New Jersey, Stark & Stark, who's both in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, Levinson Axelrod, they'll send me to clean up their cases because they got the suit against the other driver, but then they got all these medical expenses that haven't been paid, either because they've been denied or they got denied and maybe the health insurance paid it and now the health insurance is trying to get their money back. So they'll send me their cases, so I'll represent the person directly. So there's two types of arbitrations I do, a direct, meaning I represent the person directly, and then an assignment where I represent the medical provider. It's cleanest, I think, the medical providers. This way they know what their bills are, getting the records and working. So I work closely with them.
How long can a case like this take?
So we do have an arbitration system. It's mandatory in New Jersey, particularly if it's through the medical providers filing it. I would argue you can still, if you're a direct, meaning of the patient, you can file a lawsuit. The arbitrations often go only, can get resolved within 6 months of filing. Sometimes they extend out.
Now, does this happen in Philly, in PA?
So, in PA, part of the problem is most people have $5,000 and it goes out the window with the initial emergency room treatment.
And the Band-Aid. Because the Band-Aids are like, right. You know, $20 a Band-Aid. Everything just goes up. It's so ridiculous.
And I don't believe, again, I haven't practiced in PA in now probably 17 years. I don't believe they have an arbitration system. To New Jersey credit, they set up an arbitration system. It has its pluses and minuses like anything, but it's overall, it allows a lot of cases to get processed without tying up the courts.
Okay, absolutely.
So I would say typically 6 months to a year. Sometimes they take longer. Sometimes, hopefully, I file it and the insurance carrier reaches out and says, let's settle the case.
Got you.
And we can get it resolved that way. Yeah, again, it's no cost to the person.
What's the statute of limitations?
So statute of limitations, it's a unique one in that it's ever flowing. It's the most basic is 2 years from the last date of any PIP payment. So if any doctor got medical provider got paid, it's 2 years from that last payment. So even though your accident was, let's say, 2020, typically statute of limitations 2 years from that, right? But if they made payments in 2021, it's extended 2 years out. If they make payments in 2022, two more years is added. So often I've had cases where it's from 2015, the accident. I've more recently had a couple where it's from 1985.
Wow.
When it was unlimited PIP.
So it was, wait a minute. From 1985?
Where they're still having their bills paid because they had a serious, significant permanent injury. You know, the one guy has been placed in a facility, you know, major surgery, lost uses and incontinent. So he's lifetime care. Fortunately, when it happened back prior to, I think it was 1990, where they reduced it to 250, it used to be unlimited PIP. So he'll have benefits for the rest of his life as long as they keep paying it. Problem is when they want to fight it.
Well, does that happen? Not to interrupt you, but so let's say, so now we have limited PIP. So what happens to those cases that they wind up in a facility? Does their regular commercial plan pick up?
If you have a commercial plan, it could. A lot of times it ends up transitioning to Medicare, Medicaid, depending on your financial situation. But 250 is, you know, and I should point out with the 15 and a lot of providers and people don't know this. Even if you have a limited PIP policy, if you have a permanent or significant brain injury or spinal cord injury, then you get coverage up to 250, but it's a higher standard. You got to prove that. And then, or if you have any other type of significant or permanent injury while you're in acute care facility until you're stable, they'll cover up to 250 beyond the 15. So it's kind of protecting the hospitals. You come in, you know, your spleen has to be removed. Maybe you have to have surgery on your shoulder, et cetera, to get you stable. That will be covered up to the 250 also. But that's the exception to expand those limited PIP.
If somebody wants to get in touch with you, you know, what's
so I'm available a lot of ways. I'm very client friendly, meaning whatever works for you works for me. It's probably my background. I used to be a school teacher. I had my own pool service business when I was in college. I've kind of done the full gamut.
Yeah.
So I understand in the restaurant business, was a waiter, a bartender, owned a restaurant. So I'm very client friendly. You can reach me by telephone 732-722-2911. You can email me Sean@SeanHaganLaw.com. So that's S-E-A-N, Irish. At Sean Hagan, H-A-G-A-N, law.com. You can fax me. You can see my YouTube channels, and my information's always there, that Hagan, New Jersey PIP Tips. I have websites also. I don't know what else. New Jersey Accident Injury Lawyer and NJ. This is the easier one to remember. NJPIPRecovery.com.
All right. Well, listen, this has been, it's been not only an interesting show, but you know, educational and certainly entertaining. It's the fastest hour in radio we do here. So,
by the way, I think I heard Sean mumbling something under his breath. He wants to fight you outside. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sean, like you have to wait for me outside. I'll be right out.
I'll send Shane first.
I mean Shane. I'm
Shane.
Sorry.
Well,
both Shane and Sean.
No.
We're here to fight for you and help you train.
I like that.
Whether it's legal or physical.
I like that. So we want to thank
you. Got you covered.
Absolutely. I like that. We're here to fight for you. I want to thank Sean Hagan, obviously attorney at law, and of course Shane Fazin for being our guest on today's show.
I want to thank
our host, Marla Vittorello. You've been listening to the Pro to Pro Hour. Marla Vittorello, we're sponsored by Synergy Pharmacy. For Marla Vittorello and our guests, I'm Joe Doherty. Thanks for listening.